It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Sundays and it highlights all the upcoming guests for the next week, as well as our op-eds and sounding off with Kim Munson podcasts. This week, we'll be rolling out a podcast with Jill Vecchio, Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She read the complete Obamacare PPACA Act, and she has come up with a 10-point plan to fix health care. And so you will want to listen to that. So that'll be rolled out this weekend. So be sure and check that out. Always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And you listeners, thank you. I love hearing from you. And each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So, producer Steve, how are you doing this fine day?
Oh, as you would hear in a weather report, partly cloudy.
Partly cloudy? Why partly cloudy?
Well, is a glass half full or half empty? I don't know. It's just,
or an engineer says the glass is too big.
Right, your glass is twice as big as it needs to be.
So when I came in this morning, Steve was sitting here in the dark, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Take a look at the moon, and it is pretty gorgeous."
Yes, out to the west. It's the last 2 days, or at least when I'm on the early shift here, the last 2 days has been. Really something to see in the western sky.
Pretty spectacular. So,
be prepared in the next 15 minutes for a moonset.
A moonset. It's going to be gorgeous. So we'll be a great show plan for you today. Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery. We're going to get an update with her. Laura Parada, she is with the American Highway Users Alliance. And apparently the Trump administration is trying to get rid of some red tape there. So we'll talk with her in the second segment. Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. Yesterday, we started to talk about stock splits and what that means exactly. And also, we've been talking about share buybacks. So it'll be very informative for you on that as well. And then Josh Phillip. He's with the Epoch Times and the China Report. And the U.S. closed the consulate in Houston, the Chinese consulate in Houston. And it's so interesting. There was a fire in the courtyard. And they wouldn't let any of the first responders in to help put that out. So we'll ask Josh Phillip about that. So as we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or we're seeing rampant fear now, freedom versus fear and fear versus freedom.
That makes you think that maybe they were burning something they didn't want anybody to know about.
Duh, you think so?
Hmm.
Now, remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights or their property, their freedom or livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, with policy,
or in Douglas County.
That would be unpredictable and excessive taxation.
Yes.
Or fear. If something is a good idea, you do not need to have force to implement it.
That was probably tacky on my part, but I'm not bitter. The fact that my property taxes went up 27%.
Yeah. And.
But I digress. Go ahead.
Yeah, that has me going down a whole nother road. I wasn't mentally going to go down right now, Steve. So
sorry.
But we're going to be talking. We'll be talking taxes.
I'm not bitter.
No, you're not bitter. But I think what your point is people try to plan and then you get that unpredictable tax bill. And that makes it very difficult. And so, you know, where do they spend the money on? So anyway, we'll continue that conversation in the future here. As we look at these issues, my friends ask these questions. What, why, when, how, where, and who? So our quote for today is from Edmund Burke. And Edmund Burke was a hugely influential Anglo-Irish politician, orator, and political thinker. He was notable for his strong support for the American Revolution and his fierce opposition to the French Revolution. He was born in 1729 and he died in 1797. And as I was watching clips of the Bill Barr hearing last week, with the whole way that the Democrats treated him, I thought this was very appropriate. Edmund Burke said, "Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength." What do you think of that, Steve?
Boy, if he could see what's going on today.
Well, I think the point is quite frankly, there's nothing new. Human nature, the founders knew that human nature was constant, that each generation would have to wrestle with passion and reason, which is the opposite of this socialist idea of moving towards a utopia. And as we mentioned, a lot of people get hurt on the road to utopia.
I want to see the graphic that you guys come up with to go with that. But back to the Barr hearings. Individuals, we are all individuals. So you would think when you're watching the Barr hearings that all the individuals who addressed him would have an individual approach, and yet there was nothing individual about it.
Not at all. It was like they had marching orders.
They had their marching orders.
They had a meeting, and this is what we're going to do. And it was very, very well orchestrated, if you will. So, you know what? There's a piece. I think I'm going to actually hold it for tomorrow because we've got a lot going on here. And there we go. And on the line with me is one of my valued partners, Jen Hewlin with Water's Edge Winery. Jen Hewlin, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good morning, Kim. Good morning, Steve.
And what's going on over there in your world at Water's Edge Winery?
Oh, well, we are just plugging along, making wine, bottling. For people that are following our story, you can watch us on Facebook and Instagram. We've got a lot of exciting things. The chef is working hard over time, trying to keep people fed, and we've got a lot of great supporters that have been stopping by to have a glass of wine or grab a bottle to go. I'm doing personalized labels for some of my favorite pundits that are running for office this fall.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Lots of great things. Yeah, we've got some events going on at the winery as well.
Well, and I love the events that we do together. We recently did one with Helen Raleigh, as well as Dr. Paul Prentice, the three punches to knock down democratic socialism. And that was a great event. And so I always have a great time when I'm at Water's Edge Winery.
Well, thanks. You know, we love having you. You're kind of a celebrity around there. When you come in, everybody's like, "Ooh, Kim's here, Kim's here." I'm like, yes, a close personal friend of mine. But we are grateful to have you as a friend and have somebody like you in the community to help spread, you know, news of what's going on and keep people abreast of, you know, hold feet to the fire, if you will, of all of our local people. And so we really enjoy having that. And we enjoy being a place where people can gather to discuss politics, right? Both sides of the aisle.
Well, and that's what happened at America's founding, is the founding fathers, they met in taverns and they talked about these ideas. They probably, you know, even argued, got very robust about many of these ideas. And so it's a long history. So Water's Edge Winery is a great place. I just feel like there's kind of a magic that's going on. And you mentioned Chef D. I love the different creations that he comes up with.
I know. Well, I will tell you, I've definitely gained weight since I've opened this business and he's joined us. But he can do keto for people that are on special diets. We have gluten-free options. He's always coming up with something creative and unique, mastering sauces. I mean, it's his latest centennial chopped salad that will make me cry. It's so good. I just had it for dinner last night.
Okay.
And as we head into the new month of August, he's going to be launching a whole bunch of new ones. He's working on them now. And Wine Club runs tomorrow. So we've got a whole new month of Wine Club for our members. And we're really looking forward to it.
Awesome. First of all, what's your hours? What days are you open?
Well, we modified them a little bit due to the pandemic. So we are currently closed on Mondays, and that's when we do political events or private events. But we are open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. So we open for lunch. Those of you that live in the neighborhood, stop in and grab a glass or meet your friend and have a nice little lunch out. We believe in freedom at the winery, so it's normal there. It's the old normal there.
Nice.
There's no new in our place. But anyway, so we are 11 till 9 during the week, and then on Sunday we are 12 to 7.
Okay. And how can people get more information about what's happening at the winery? I know we have our landing page at kimmunson.com, but there's even more extensive information on your website. What is that?
We do. So wewdenver.com is pretty dedicated just to the business. I tend to leave the politics out of my business page and information. We are still working on a lawsuit with my attorney to go after the governor and the state of Colorado for constitutional overreach. So we kind of, that stuff's going on. And so all of us are part of this class action that we will be going after the governor. We are tying up loose ends, and it sounds like the attorney and his group are very busy working on that lawsuit. So just for everyone out there, I know it's been a long time and this has been going on for months, but that stuff is still in the works. It's just not an overnight thing.
Right.
We want to make sure that we're going to be successful, not just that we sue, but that we do it well.
Okay.
So that's what he's working on.
Okay. Well, thanks for the update on that as well.
Yeah.
So great. Well, Jen, we'll talk to you here in a couple of weeks then. And again, really appreciate your partnership. And it's just, like you say, it's a normal place to go, Water's Edge Winery. I love it. So thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you guys down at the Water's Edge.
Okay. And before we go to break, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado. And now that we have some sports to watch, Hooters Restaurants is a great place to do that. They have TVs, so they'll have all the sports there. They've got patios so that you can just sit out there in this beautiful Colorado afternoons. And they have lunch specials, happy hour. But they're doing something really compassionate. They're running an in-store fundraiser for the Sacred Heart House of Denver, which is a local charity. Sacred Heart House of Denver helps prevent single women and single moms and their children from homelessness. And the fundraiser started yesterday. The last day will be August 16th. And guests will be able to donate at any of the five Hooters Colorado locations. And when they donate, they get their name or company placed on the wall. And rounding up their change on the tab or any donations of $15 or more, they get a free fried pickle appetizer or $5 off their bill if they don't want that. It's valid only for that day. So be sure to go to order.hooters.com for more information. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Laura Perotta regarding Trump again trying to get rid of some red tape, which would actually help our roads and bridges. So we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Sundays, and it highlights all the upcoming guests for the week, as well as our guest op-eds, my op-eds when I have those in there, as well as our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. You can, we'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Laura Perotta. She is the president and CEO of the American Highway Users Alliance. And she recently had an important piece in Colorado politics regarding Trump is removing some of the red tape regarding our roads and our bridges. And, you know, the freedom to move around, the freedom of mobility is inherent in a free people, people being able to go after their hopes and their dreams. And so I'm really thrilled to see that this is happening. So, Laura Perotta, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. I really appreciate the invitation to be here.
Well, so I'm pretty excited about this. I actually served on city council in my town from 2012 to 2016. And what I watched was that there was a real movement to try to get people out of their cars, and by putting up red tape, a whole variety of things. And so what is happening now? I think this is pretty exciting, Laura.
Thank you so much, Kim. It is exciting. You know, it's been a long time coming, I'll tell you that much. But this has been almost 50 years since the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, has been modernized. So obviously, building a roadway 50 years ago was very different than building a roadway today. The Trump administration has actually issued a final rule to modernize these NEPA policies that will really speed up roadway projects going forward. The goal is currently for a roadway project, it takes about 7 years on average to get the permits approved. This will hopefully drive it down to 2 years. So still, it can be a thoughtful environmental review, but it shouldn't take 7 years. I mean, anything you're going to discover with a problem with the environment when you're trying to make an improvement or build a new roadway can be discovered within 2 years. There's nothing that takes 7 years to find out.
So I really think that it's been a bit of a kind of a political strategy, because I have seen, for example, rail lines, or, you know, light rail lines approved much quicker than that in this particular, in our metro area. So in some ways it's like roadblocks to just, I think it creates congestion, and then congestion can create frustration with voters. And so I think that there's a strategy then to come to voters to ask for more money for highways, when in essence, I think if they would speed up these projects, it could relieve congestion much more quickly.
Yes, there definitely are some politics at play. And it's really unfortunate, because what happens is the taxpayer and the individual citizen just trying to get to work is the person who suffers. Mm-hmm. They're the ones stuck in the gridlock. You know, there's no reason, again, that project should take this long. And unfortunately, lawsuit after lawsuit from environmental groups just gets piled on. They have to have, you know, so many public meetings with, you know, for example, the I-70 expansion, which I know you're very, very familiar mm-hmm. with in Colorado. It took 13 years to get the permits approved, 13 years and 15,951 pages of records produced. I mean, that's over the top. Obviously, there's absolutely no reason why that needs to happen today in this day and age.
You know, Laura, one of the other things that I do is I have another show where it's America's Veteran Stories, where I've interviewed over 140 World War II veterans. And what is amazing to me is, for example, when they were landing on islands in the Pacific and needing to build airfields, they could build them within a month. A month, and they're still there. So how is it that can happen in a month and it takes 13 years to get a highway approved?
Well, exactly. You know, and that's the ridiculousness. And I think that, you know, when you talk about NEPA modernization, it's not necessarily the most enticing topic in the world. So, you know, the general public really isn't aware that there's even this process that the roadway has to go through. And when you actually start educating the public on how long it's taking, they're just baffled. I mean, there was a Bastnight Bridge project in North Carolina, for example. It took 25 years to approve and 3 years to build. I mean, this is insanity.
It is insanity. The other thing about it, though, you mentioned lawsuits, and it's not just regarding transportation. It can be a number of different issues out there where environmental groups sue. And many times the suit is settled. You know, there's a monetary settlement, which then that allows the environmental groups to have money in their pockets to go out and do even more political maneuvering regarding whatever issue it is. Have you seen that much with these approvals?
Yes, these approvals. And, you know, and unfortunately, why sometimes it does take something like 13 years is when you got one lawsuit, it's settled, then there's a new discovery. There's a new issue with the project from the environmental perspective. And the really sad thing is the Trump administration really does care about environmental reviews. And it was painted by some in a very negative light what they were trying to do. It's just they're saying that, you know, a thoughtful review doesn't have to take 7 years. You know, that there's a faster way to look at the big picture, especially, you know, nowadays when we're building or improving a roadway, we're using the most modern technologies that are very careful about the environmental impact. You know, it's just so different than it was 50 years ago.
Well, and a thoughtful review, I think that that's a really important narrative out there, because, you know, it seems like we're painted as black or white, that we don't care about the environment or, you know, totally care about the environment. And I think that's a false narrative. We can actually coexist with thoughtful review and get these projects done, if you will, Laura Perotta.
Exactly. Absolutely. You're exactly on point. You know, and that's something I've really tried to drive home when folks talk about, you know, gutting NEPA. That's crazy. This is modernizing NEPA. And every time I talk to any stakeholder, I always say the highway users care about the environment. You know, we realize, you know, that the highways have to live in the bigger environment, and we absolutely care about making sure that the environment's protected. But that doesn't mean we can't move traffic smarter, that we can't have more freedom of mobility, as you were mentioning earlier, that Americans should be able to utilize their personal automobile to get to work. They don't always have other options. And, you know, it really, we need to be smart about how we plan things going forward. We need to be careful, but we also need to do things in a smarter, faster way that's cheaper, because these are taxpayer dollars that we're spending.
Let's go back to I'm thinking about what you just said about the I-70 expansion, that it took 13 years because of all the environmental questions to get that approved. During that time, the population of Colorado increased significantly. And just think about if elected representatives and bureaucrats and interested parties were really interested in solving the problem, they would have been on that a lot quicker. 13 years, you know, more people coming in. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we're going to have some congestion when that happens. And it seems like they should be trying to solve problems with thoughtful review instead of the roadblocks that have been put up. Laura?
I completely agree. You know, it's, again, it really comes down to let's do it smart for our communities. Yes, Denver's had a population explosion, and so many of our urban areas have across the country, and they're suffering. I mean, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and in a not COVID environment, I mean, we're in gridlock, absolute gridlock every single day. And, you know, one thing that has helped a little bit is the hot lane. So they've developed that just has relieved some traffic flow. But there has to be ways that we can be looking at our communities and figuring out how to make these roadway improvements. Some folks don't want roadways. That's unrealistic. You know, we have 273 million registered vehicles on our highways, in our roadways right now every year. You know, we have to improve the system. We have a $786 billion backlog on roadway and bridge needs in this country. And this is just one piece of the puzzle to help us move those improvements forward.
Okay. And you just mentioned something quickly, and this may be for another day, but managed lanes. You said hot lanes, so I assume that that's the managed lanes there in Washington, D.C. I've actually been frustrated that many times I'll be going down one of our, you know, new highways or whatever. I guess it's not a new highway, but it's been redone. And nobody will be over in the managed lane. Everybody will be on the lanes that you don't have to pay for. And then there will be very few people over in the managed lanes. I actually thought it'd be better if we had everybody could use all the lanes. What's your thoughts on that, Laura?
Yeah, you know, it's very tricky. There are big fights over building extra lanes, you know, and getting the state governments and the local governments to approve those lanes. So, you know, is there a magic solution? I don't know. I would love it if everyone was free to use every single lane. I think that would be fantastic. I have seen the benefits in the D.C. metro area because it was a way that we could get the extra lanes built and funded. So, you know, that's the biggest challenge, I think, overall for our entire nation is just increasing roadway funding. You know, right now Congress is debating a five-year highway bill that they're trying to get approved that would give a big infusion of funds for our roadways. But it's a long slog, and the hardest thing is, and this is another conversation for another day, is the Federal Highway Trust Fund and how we fund our roadways is just really broken.
Oh, Laura, you're singing what I want to talk about, so we're going to have to get you on again, okay, Laura?
I'd love to do it. Thank you, Kim. I know we're running out of time. I just appreciate this opportunity and just really anything we can do to just explain that NEPA modernization was necessary and it made sense. And I'm very excited about where we're going forward.
Great. Well, we'll have you back, Laura Perotta. And how can people get more information if they need it?
Sure. You can check out our website. It's www.highways.org. We have a bunch of NEPA stuff on there. Also, there's a great website, Unlock American Investment, on the Chamber of Commerce's website. And again, it's Unlock American Investment. We are a member of this coalition with the Chamber of Commerce and many other organizations, associations, and companies who care about NEPA modernization. So okay. That's a great resource, too.
Well, Laura Perotta, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, happy Tuesday.
Hey, happy Tuesday to you, Kim.
So yesterday, we started this subject with Apple and their stock split. And so continue on. I think this is really informative for people.
Well, Kim, you had asked why companies might do a stock split, and is that good, bad, or indifferent? I think a lot of times in the past, companies have done stock splits when the price of the stock, you know, got up high. You know, in the triple digits, you know, people tend to not want to buy a stock that's $100 or $200 or $300. They'd rather buy, you know, a $20, $30, $40 stock or even a $10 one. Now, that's individual investors that we're talking about, you know, people like you, me, what they would call mom and pop investors. So the thought of a split, Kim, was that it would make the share price more attractive to the average person and maybe create more buying. But I don't know if I agree with that, because the biggest amount of shareholdings in pretty much any company is going to be by big institutions such as mutual funds, pensions, hedge funds, those type of investors. And frankly, they don't care what the price of the share is. That's just something that, that generally the individual investor worries about.
Okay, so you mentioned Apple doing the stock split, and that might change the weighting on the Dow. Is that what you said yesterday?
Yeah, now Apple might be a little bit different case. I mean, you notice a lot of the other you know, big tech stocks. Amazon's over $3,000 a share. Google's at $1,500. You've got Netflix, Adobe, all kinds of different ones that are, you know, $300-$400 a share, and they're not splitting. But Apple is part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or the Dow 30, which is the one kind of odd index that the weighting that a stock has in that index goes by the price. So it's a price-weighted index. So if you look, Kim, Apple, you know, starts taking off. Now it's at $435. Well, you look at a couple of the other top weightings there. United Healthcare is at 303. You know, Home Depot's like 266. And, you know, beyond that, you don't have too many stocks that are even at $200 or over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if Apple were to keep going up, up, up and not split, they already did a 7-for-1 split at one point. So without that, that stock would be at 3,000 right now.
Wow.
And that'd be like 10 times more than the second highest stock in the Dow. So basically the Dow would just be Apple.
Yeah, fascinating. Fascinating. Well, if you have any questions and want some real knowledge, talk to Jason McBride or any of your colleagues over there at Presidential Wealth Management. I find this stuff fascinating, Jason.
Yeah, well, you know, different things for different times. But I think that's part of the reason you see Apple doing splits where other giant tech stocks have not done so.
Okay, well, thanks for explaining that. And if you'd like to talk to Jason McBride or any of the other fine folks over at Presidential Wealth Management, phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Or we have this very cool landing page together as well, which is on my website. Or you can go to airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Josh Philip is with the Epoch Times. He also hosts the China Report. And I found it so curious that when the U.S. Closed the Chinese consulate in Houston, that there was a big fire in the courtyard. And just wanted to ask Josh Philip what he thought about that. So we'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all the upcoming guests, as well as our op-eds and Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Josh Philip, and he is with the Epoch Times. He also hosts the China Report. He is an expert on China. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, real pleasure being here.
Lots of questions rolling around in my head right now, but the first one is I thought it was so curious when shortly after the U.S. closed the consulate in Houston that there was a fire in the courtyard, but yet they didn't let any first responders, any firemen in to put that fire out. What's your thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah, well, there was a video recording of this courtyard, and there were individuals who looked like they were throwing papers into flaming bins. And when it comes to consulates, of course, every country in the world, for the most part, uses their consulates for some type of intelligence gathering. So they want to figure out how the country operates, what the local politics are, and so on. If the U.S. closes the consulate, it's probably going to shred some documents, too. But with China, the big thing it's being accused of is using its consulates as basically hubs for, like, illicit espionage. In other words, not just diplomatic-type stuff, but stealing intellectual property, monitoring and harassing members of the Chinese community, and things like that that would be considered, you know, illegal and at the very least extremely unethical.
Okay, so what's our takeaway from this then?
Well, I can tell you some of my own work going back to 2008. A lot of what I was doing was researching for the Epoch Times as an investigative reporter. The Chinese Communist Party's uses of these consulates as basically external branches of the Chinese government on American soil. And they monitor local politicians. They have programs to subvert local politicians, to influence them, invite them on trips back to China using their front organizations, to harass, sometimes beat, and even threaten to kill members of the Chinese community, sometimes even American citizens, on U.S. soil. Even threatening family members of dissidents. I mean, the things they do are terrible. There was also an Australian diplomat, a man named Chen Yonglin, who defected from the Chinese consulate in Canberra, Australia, back in, I believe it was 2005, and he actually leaked a bunch of documents to us. And he detailed how the Chinese consulates were monitoring every member of the Chinese community, and how they were using that to extend the Chinese Communist Party's human rights abuses onto foreign soil. And so very likely the stuff they were destroying, based on my research and what I've seen, would be stuff like this.
Now, how many Chinese consulates are there in the U.S.?
I believe there's six. I think down to five now. But the Trump administration is talking about going after more.
And what would you say that's based on?
when it comes to going after them? Well, yeah. You know, the Trump administration understands the way the Chinese Communist Party uses these consulates. And you know, of course, the Chinese regime responded to the U.S. closing its consulate in Houston by closing the U.S. consulate in Chengdu in China, which is kind of the main consulate hub that could oversee, for example, what the Chinese regime is doing in Tibet. Now, when it comes to the value of this, the Chinese Communist Party has a whole lot more to lose than the U.S. does. And here's why. Not only does the CCP use its consulates as basically overseas branches of the Chinese Communist Party, they use it like a local government branch, and they use it to manage the local community. They have fraternal organizations, tongs, that work as basically like low-level government officials. But going back to China, even at the American consulate, one of the U.S. policies when it comes to consulates is they hire local staff. They call them locally engaged staff. And you know, 9 times out of 10, the locally engaged staff that we're hiring on their soil are spies. And so the CCP not only uses its own consulates as hubs for espionage, it uses our consulates as hubs for espionage. And also they limit the access that our own diplomats have on Chinese soil. And so really, when it comes to them closing the U.S. consulate down, even in China, it's a bigger blow to them than it is to us.
Okay, so you mentioned kind of surveying. And so a couple of things that have been in the news, actually right now, is this whole TikTok thing and Microsoft, and that the Trump administration has said that TikTok has basically been spying on U.S. citizens and sending that information back to China. So what do you think about this, Josh Phillip?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Chinese Communist Party does this. Can't say for sure whether they were doing that directly to TikTok. But look, you know, if TikTok is a Chinese company, that's going to be happening because they have to. They have to follow Chinese law. TikTok, now, the TikTok would deny this. They say that their servers are in the United States and they're not being, you know, sent back to China in any way. But the Chinese Communist Party, through its own law, the national security law, requires that all data is secure and controllable, meaning that at the very least, the company would have to maintain a backdoor that would allow access to Chinese agents, at the very least. In addition to this, the parent company, the owners of TikTok, is a company called ByteDance. And it just so happened that right around the time when TikTok became popular, you know, roughly around the same time internationally, the head of ByteDance in China wrote a big self-criticism letter publicly where he apologized to the Communist Party for not following its doctrines closely enough. And he stated in his own letter, in his own words, that he would begin supporting the, say, activities of the Chinese Communist Party and use his platforms that he would create to support the agendas of the Chinese Communist Party.
Fascinating. So is this deal supposedly with Microsoft, that Microsoft's going to be buying TikTok or the U.S. operations of TikTok? What do you think about that, Josh?
Well, so they're talking about buying a 30% stake. The Trump administration, they're pushing them to basically buy the whole thing. And Peter Navarro, one of Trump's main advisors, who's also pretty, you know, he was the author of the book Death by China. It was also a documentary. Peter Navarro really knows his stuff, honestly, when it comes to China. I knew him before he got into the Trump administration. You know, he's pretty clear on this stuff. He's actually calling out Microsoft, because Microsoft also works pretty closely with the Chinese mm-hmm. Communist Party. And one of the big concerns is, well, you know, one, if Microsoft buys a 30% stake, what does that mean? You still have the CCP influencing it to some extent. And if it's a Chinese-owned company, they still have to follow Chinese law. That's one of the big concerns. And this is even bipartisan. Even the Democrats have been calling them out on this. But when it comes to Microsoft as well, the big question, as Peter Navarro raised, is, well, would it still be free of Chinese Communist Party influence if Microsoft had, for example, data sharing deals with, say, Chinese authorities and so on?
Mm-hmm. And then what about this deal that the Trump administration is saying that the U.S. government would get money from this TikTok transaction?
Well, I believe they're talking more about the U.S. government possibly getting tax revenue and things like this. You know, really, when it comes to these big tech companies, they have so many ways of getting around taxes and getting around, you know, paying anything, that it's not that much, to be honest. If anything, though, it would enhance the U.S. dominance over the high-tech sector globally. You have to think Facebook, Twitter, Google, you know, pretty much the whole bastion of products that are the main line for the internet, for computers and so on, a lot of, you know, at least on the software type side, is based in the United States. And so this would enhance the U.S. control over, say, the main hubs of information when it comes to social media.
And another company that, you know, has been used quite often during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption has been Zoom. And I've had tech people tell me not to use Zoom because of maybe some of the same things, same concerns that you've just described regarding TikTok. What's your thoughts on that, Josh Phillip?
Yeah, well, Zoom was seen actually routing data through China. They, you know, of course, they deny these things, and then they have to admit it. One of the big things the Chinese Communist Party does, now in China, one of their big social control systems is the social credit system. It's basically a smart city program that has a database on every single Chinese citizen, and it monitors every part of their lives, their purchases, their friends, who they're talking to, what their beliefs are, what their political views are. You know, do they smoke? Do they drink? What is their diet? They're given a citizen score based on the collective of all of these activities, and the citizen score determines their freedom or oppression within China. Now, different reports have shown that the Chinese Communist Party has similar databases also on Americans, and also with their One Belt, One Road initiative, where they're going abroad to different countries and building critical infrastructure and so on, and getting countries into debt traps, essentially, so they default on the loans. And then the CCP controls this infrastructure in foreign countries, meaning it's expanding its, say, dominance over these countries, including with this high-tech system, this Orwellian system. Well, when it comes to them stealing data, for example, on Americans like you and me, this is what they're using it for. They're using it to build this database, and this database is really part of the China model when it comes to their definition of exporting their form of government to other countries.
Josh Phillip, let's go to break, but as you're talking about this, I mean, I almost see that happening to Americans now with all of this COVID-19 contact tracing and, mandatory mask wearing. And there is kind of a social thing, you know, the narrative, stay home, save a life. You don't wear a mask for you. You wear it for the other person. It's creating all kinds of division. And so I'd like to get your thoughts on that. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Josh Phillip. He is an investigative reporter with the Epoch Times, also the host of the China Report. He's an expert on China. More questions and more answers when we get back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sweet
and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We greatly appreciate that. Before we get back with Josh Phillip, I am thrilled to talk with you about one of my new sponsors, and that is Castlegate Knives. They're located out in Sedalia. They have custom knives, unique folders, fixed blades. I was out there. It was a fascinating store. In fact, I've got to get a wedding gift, so I think I'll get one of their really beautiful steak knife sets there. But it's just a really cool shop. And knives have been around for a long time. We can use them in work. Certainly, if you hunt, you fish, you need to have a good, reliable tool with you. So be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. or head out to Sedalia. And I always like to go out there and, you know, maybe get a burger or something and stop by castlegate.com. So jumping back over here with Josh Phillip. Josh, you have so many questions. You've created so many questions. And the first one is this whole social credit thing. And in a way, I almost see that that's moving over here to America. And the idea that China would be keeping a kind of a social report card on Americans is really concerning to me, Josh Phillip.
Well, you know, one of the big concerns they have in Hong Kong right now and other parts of China is that when the Chinese regime is doing these nucleic acid tests where they go and they, you know, do these swabs of people, these saliva swabs, essentially, one of the big concerns they have, because they're doing this in mass right now in Hong Kong, where the CCP just effectively ended Hong Kong's autonomy, is that they're using that actually to build this database as well. Because when it comes to these, say, saliva swabs, they can use that to collect biometric data on people, DNA samples. And, you know, it is the case as well that in the United States and in many countries of the world, when it comes to the way this virus is being handled, the system of lockdowns, face masks, these totalitarian moves, this is based on the way China dealt with it. This is, you know, from the perspective of the Chinese Communist Party, it's seen basically as Western countries mimicking the China model of dealing with crisis. And unfortunately, I think this virus has been politicized. I think it's really unfortunate that this has happened, but there do appear to be groups using it, using this crisis to advance their own political goals.
Well, and you mentioned Smart City, and out here in Colorado, out by DIA, there, Panasonic has put up a smart city, which I thought a smart city seems kind of dumb to me, because that means that they're going to be probably collecting all kinds of data. They want you to live in that little pod, if you will. You know, the elites can move around, but us, you know, us regular folk, we're going to have to stay in our little pods and our little communities. You know, I had Laura Parada on in the second segment about highways, you know, people being able to have freedom of mobility to go where they want to, when they want to, is inherent about the American idea. And I have a friend that immigrated from China, and she said the difference between a free society and a non-free society is the ability to move around. So smart cities, to me, it looks like it's pretty dumb, because they can collect all kinds of data and they want you to stay kind of right in that little pod. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, well, it's Orwellian systems. It's just, you know, it has the neon lights and glossy surface and a big logo on it, so we don't see it like that. But really, this is the stuff Orwell warned about, you know. And the way cell phones work, cell phone tracking, the way that, you know, data works in these cities, you know, they can trace you. They have facial recognition cameras. In fact, China has the market cornered when it comes to installing a lot of those systems. Again, I mentioned the social credit system. The CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, is exporting that. Darwin, Australia, for example, they have it implemented. Different, many parts of Latin America, many parts of Africa, they have it implemented. And really, there are Western corporations that are interested in building systems very similar to that. Now, you could argue that they're not being used in the same way that Orwell envisioned, but the technology and infrastructure is there if they would choose to use it like that. And really, in my opinion, I guess, I think we should take a hard look at the kind of future we're building.
Well, and you mentioned that that this is being put in place, and then it'll depend on how it's being used. But human nature, you know, when people start to get power, sometimes they just can't get themselves pulled back from that. So I think we do need to be really cautious about putting all this. And it seems like it's all happening at morph speed. What's your thoughts on 5G, Josh Phillip?
Well, one of the big concerns around 5G when it comes to the Chinese Communist Party is basically the saturation of data monitoring. You're dealing with this type of emitted electronic system that can basically pick up different types of data floating in the air, like, you know, Wi-Fi, different types of communication signals, and so on. For the U.S. military, this is raising a lot of concerns on the security of their communications. Would the Chinese regime be able to use 5G, for example, if they built it here, to monitor communication systems? It would be very hard for them to secure communications if that was the case. And basically what 5G does is it opens up these, you know, electromagnetic fields where they can basically, you know, how should I explain it? When you're dealing with electromagnetic systems, you're dealing with different spectrums through which you can transmit and use data. 5G opens up the very high and very low sectors of these. It opens up areas that really modern devices can't really access. And those secure systems are being used to some extent by military channels, for example, and it's raising a lot of concerns over the security of communications because of that. But it also raises the idea of, you know, the reason they wanted it really is for smart cities. Your phone, your computer, you don't need to have, you know, the ability to download 5 gigabytes in, you know, a few seconds or something. This is the idea of this type of big data monitoring and things like that, or, you know, smart cars and things that require massive amounts of data. And again, it ties into this future we're building for ourselves. You know, where are we moving by creating these types of technologies?
Well, I think freedom is really on the chopping block here with all of this, and it seems like it's happening at morph speed. What can we do about it, Josh?
Well, what can we do about it? It's hard to say. I mean, what can stop the march of technological advancement? It's hard to say. With 5G, the big question really is it stands now, because I don't think we can do much about stopping big companies from developing, and people want it, so they're going to build it. It's going to be a question of who controls it. Is it going to be the United States controlling it, or is it going to be the Chinese Communist Party controlling it? And that's the real big question that's defining the current moves around 5G right now.
Okay, so you talk about who's controlling it. You probably saw that clip with Dianne Feinstein from California, Senator from California, talking about China in very glowing terms last week. So who controls it? This is a time for choosing for Americans as we go to the ballot box, because do we want to have people that are sympathetic to China, or do we want people that stand up for Americans? Josh, your thoughts?
No, it's absolutely true. And Feinstein was exposed previously of having a Chinese spy in her payroll, or driver, actually, for quite many years. The Chinese Communist Party, they are working on subverting every part of our society, whether it's inviting politicians back to China and offering them or their family members different types of, say, packages, you know, quote unquote, whether it's exploiting our business community, whether it's getting our academics, college professors, even students under their heel, essentially. The United States does seem to be doing a lot about this now. The FBI has investigations in, you know, every district looking into these things, and they're prosecuting it at on a pretty large scale. But, you know, I've been following this stuff since 2008. I've been researching, you know, Chinese subversion, and the scale of it is massive. And really, unless something very strong is done about it, the future would be concerning. Although I do believe, based on what I've seen, that the Trump administration is aware of this, and they do appear to be going after it on every level, which has been very reassuring for me, at least.
Well, and the last time I had you on, you really seemed hopeful. You said something along the line of, before the Trump administration, you didn't really think that there was anything that could stop it, but you seemed to be hopeful, and that gave me hope, Josh Philip.
I am still hopeful. Basically, this is why I had very little hope, is that the way the Chinese regime had done these operations, you could not stop it from doing what it's doing unless you took a very, very harsh stance, bordering on, you know, hostile actions such as closing down a Chinese consulate. The Trump administration does not seem to be hesitant when it comes to taking hostile actions that are necessary, such as that. You know, tying it back to, again, some of the things we've seen them do recently, like, again, closing the consulate, or, for example, sanctioning Chinese officials and Chinese businesses for, you know, doing slave labor camps in Xinjiang and these things, which really wraps up a lot of Western corporations as well, you know, pretty much the entire apparel industry, and even some of the big car manufacturers, you know, basically engaged in slave labor in China. That type of hostile action is needed if something's going to be done about what the Chinese regime has been building.
Fascinating. We've got just a minute left, Josh Philip. What is the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning?
Well, again, it's the big question of, you know, who controls these things going forward. And it does appear the Trump administration is taking very strong actions to ensure that the United States and the idea of individual liberty is what defines the future.
Well, so we really are at a time for choosing, and we as everyday citizens, we need to do our civic duty. We need to understand these issues. And Josh Phillip, you bring a lot of light to this. How can people get more information? I imagine subscribing to the Epoch Times would be a very good idea, right, Josh Phillip?
I'd recommend it. That's why I work there. trying to restore traditional journalism.
And you're doing a great job. I'm a subscriber, and I highly recommend it. So, Josh Phillip, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, my friends, that was a lot of information in just two segments on that. So hopefully there's some takeaways that you'll have for today as you talk with your friends, your family, and your colleagues. We need to engage in the battle of ideas, and that's why we need to understand what's happening there. Edmund Burke, our quote for today, he said, "The greater the power, the more dangerous the abuse." So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.